note, today we'll discuss, couldn't come up with a better title than various Friday night tefillah issues. I'm not good with titles, I apologize. It's also how to get featured on Why You Torah. If you have a good title, then you get featured on Why You Torah, so it's alright. Okay, so just a couple of different issues that come up on a Friday night tefillah, and for us to be aware of. I found it interesting in preparing it, so hopefully you'll find some of it interesting as well. The first topic, it's not in order, is the Vishamru, the recitation of Vishamru. So it's not brought in Shulchan Aruch for some reason to say Vishamru Friday night before Shemona Esrei, but it is brought in the tour. So the tour in the first source says Menog and Lomar Pasuk Vishamru Bnei Yisrael Lomar Shem Yishmeru Shabbos Ein Tzrich and Shmira. So the minhag is to say Vishamru before Shon Esrei, and the reason is to say that if we keep Shabbos, so then we don't require any Shmira, because the Shabbos will protect us, and we won't require any extra security in the shul or in our lives. And it's also Me'in Ge'ula, because the Gemara says that if you keep two Shabboses, so then you'll get the Ge'ula. Why does the tour have to add in that it's Me'in Ge'ula? Because we know that there is a requirement of Smichas Gula Tzvila, that you're supposed to go directly from Gal Yisrael into Shona Esrei. And even at Mariv, when we have Hashkivenu after Gal Yisrael, the Gemara says that it's a Gula Arichta, and that's what allows it. So that's what the tour is trying to extend that to say that just as Hashkivenu counts as a Gula Arichta, it's just a lengthened Gula, and then you have a Smichas Gula to Tvila. So too, he says, the recitation of Vishamru won't cause any problems because Vishamru is also Me'in Ge'ula. So it's just another extension of the Ge'ula such that we do have Smichas Ge'ula Tvila. So it's not saying that we don't require Smichas Ge'ula Tvila. It's saying that Vishamru acts as Smichas Ge'ula Tvila as well. The Ramah, it's on the source, the second source. The Ramah says, on Shabbos, we don't require smichas gula tefila. Perish the time of the be'in on the mismach gula tefila. The reason we generally require smichas gula tefila, mishum dichsev yancha Hashem biyom tzara, because the pasuk says yancha Hashem biyom tzara, and then right next to it b'samich le yuleratzon imrefi, etc. v'goali. So we see that we place, the Gemara says that the source, Rashi brings that the source for Smichas Gula Tzvila is because Yamcha Hashem B'Yom Tzara is placed right next to the Goali. And so we see the Shabbos Lav Zman Tzara. So it says the Ramah that even though in general we require Smichas Gula Tzvila, that's only because of the connection of these two psukim. But if it's not a Yom Tzara, because Shabbos is not a Zman Tzara, so then there's no longer a requirement for Smichas Gula Tzvila. So these are two very different approaches. Why? The Shomer would not be a problem. One possibility is that Vishamru acts as Smichas Gula Tvila, because it's a Gula Arichta. And the other possibility, based off of the Ramah, is that there's no requirement for Smichas Gula Tvila at all. But either way, there's no problem of saying Vishamru in between Gal Yisrael and Shon Esrei. The Drisha, not on the source, he gives a different reason. The Drisha says it's because it's a reminder that it's Shabbos for Shon Esrei. So it's called Tzorech HaTvila. Well, you know, sometimes, it doesn't really happen Shabbos usually, but you know, we usually have a klap to remember Yalav Yavo, you have a klap to remember that it's the Shavuos Regalim Shon Esrei instead. So too, Shabbos, this is just a reminder to us, hey, it's Shabbos, make sure you daven the Shabbos tefillah and not the weekday tefillah, and therefore it's called Tzorech HaTefillah. So just like we would say that you'd be allowed to call out by Marv, you'd be allowed to call out Yalav Yavo, so everyone remembers. So too, this is Cain, that concept of saying, calling out Yalav Yavo. So three potential reasons why it's okay for us to recite Vishamru, and there's no problem of Smichas Gula Tvila. One is, this is Smichas Gula Tvila. The other is that there's no requirement of Smichas Gula Tvila. And the other is that there's no problem breaking Smichas Gula Tvila, because anytime it's Tzorech HaTvila, it's going to be okay, and we will call this Tzorech HaTvila. So that's... Yeah.
Yontif is not... Is Yontif.
So they give... The Ramah doesn't say... Right? He doesn't say, he says, yeah, he considers Yom Tov to be Yom Tzara. Why is Yom Tov Yom Tzara versus Shabbos? I don't know.
Yeah, the same Bakasha.
You're allowed to have Bakashas on Yom Tov, right? It's a suffix. It's more of a suffix on Yom Tov than on Shabbos. Right?
You can fast on Yom Tov.
Yeah, on certain Yom Tov. So maybe it's more of, yeah, Rosh Hashanah for sure, would, you know, is more of a Yom Tzara. And then I guess the Shalosh Regalim, I guess it's just less of a Yom Tzara. So it's just a question of how much of the Yom Tzara would be a problem. But yeah. So that's why we would be able to say the Shamru. However,
what is the main
Tzara? You're allowed to have a Hefsig. That's Letzor HaTfilah. I mean, just like we say you're allowed to call out Yalav Yavo if it's Letzor HaTfilah. So he says saying the Shamru is Ka'im, calling out Yalav Yavo. It's not, yeah, you might say that it's not really a Torah Chatzvila because we know that it's Shabbos already and we're not going to forget, but that's the approach that he's taking, that this is a Torah Chatzvila to remind everyone that you have to daven the Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei. I assume that he's working backwards on seeing that the minhag was to say the Shamru and then trying to explain why it's okay, but...
Actually, Torah Chatzvila is the Torah Shmoneh
Esrei. Right, that's what, yeah, yeah. It's just to us, it's like it's obvious, and that doesn't really, I guess it reminds people, but, you know, to us, calling out Yalav Yavo, we understand why it's needed, and why that's a reminder here, saying Mishamru, I guess also by rote, you're just always saying Mishamru, so it doesn't remind you. So that's why many shuls have the minhag to say Mishamru.
Would the Rama say that the Bayidah Rama is different?
In terms of the...
Incentive.
Right, no, that yeah, I assume... Yeah, that's why he says Hainadafta Bechol Abiyam Tov Shabbos Ein Tzarech, and that's why they you know, I didn't put these down, but the same opinions, like the Drisha says the same thing by Yom Tov, but the Rambam probably wouldn't say the same thing by Yom Tov. He'd have to give a different reason why Vayidaber is okay, and they do. The Levush has different reasons why it's okay. So that's why we would say Vashamra. The Maaseh Rav, famously for us who live in Eretz Yisrael, the Maaseh Rav of Vilna Gaon says in what would be source number 3 if I numbered them, Baruch Hashem la'olam. So we don't say Baruch Hashem la'olam. Medalig im tzarech lekach kedei lehispalo im hatzibur. Ve'eino omer achar tefila klal. Hu atzmo lo haya omer klal. The Vilna Gaon would not say it at all. Lo Baruch Hashem ve'lo b'shamer b'shabes kedei lismachku letefila. So the Vilna Gaon himself had a practice not to say the Shamru, even though everyone around him would still say the Shamru. It's just interesting to note that I guess even though the Vilna Gaon had certain minhagim, he did not change the minhagim of the people around him, I guess because it had been the minhag of the community for generations. So therefore, but the Vilna Gaon himself would not say because he didn't hold of any of these reasons. And he said, therefore, we don't say Baruch Hashem Olam or B'Shamru because of a problem of Smichas Geula Litvila, and that's why we know in Eretz Yisrael, in many places, the minhag is not to say Vashamra based off of Gra. Rav Moshe says in the next source, with Bar Brikas Yira, Inenu Ein Talei Beretz Yisrael V'Chutzlaretz, has nothing to do with the place. Elisha Omer V'Chutzlaretz Yeshalem Lomar Gam Beretz Yisrael. If you normally say V'Chutzlaretz, you should say in Eretz Yisrael also. The Elish Ein Omer Beretz Yisrael, Ein Lehem Lomar Gam V'Chutzlaretz. If you don't, if you're from Eretz Yisrael, you don't say it. So when you're Chutz La'aretz, you shouldn't say it either. Ki machol kasuva b'tur. Ach ulai be'eretz Yisrael nagin kagadolim shenagu shlo la'omran. Shehevi atur mishum shabel sham tamidei hagra v'tamidei the balatanya shetravayu hayu sovran shlo la'omran. So why did it become that the minhag Eretz Yisrael is not to say v'shamru? Because the Vilna Gaon held not to say v'shamru, and the balatanya held not to say v'shamru, and their talmidim were the ones that settled Eretz Yisrael first. So they established the minhag. So even though the Vilna Gaon himself and his community didn't change the minhag, but his talmidim established a new minhag in a new place. So that's why it became common practice in Eretz Yisrael not to say Bishamru, based off of the Vilna Gaon. So what happens if you are in a place where they are saying it and you normally don't say it? So should you say it? So it depends. If you're a chazan, if you're the shliach tzibur, so then you would have to say it based off of the halachas of makom shenagu. The Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Pesach, "Haholich mimakom sheosin lamakom shein osin lo yase biyishuv im neisha machlokes." Vaholich mimakom shein osin lamakom sheosin lo yase osin alav chumri makom sheyatzim isham vechumri makom shehalach l'sham. So we generally say that you go based off of whatever the practice is in the place that you are going. We generally say we give you the chumras of the place that you're going to. When it comes to doing malacha on Erev Pesach, so you shouldn't, if you're going to a place and you're going to want to not do the malacha because that's your chumrah, but everyone does the malacha there, so you should try and not make it obvious because it's going to lead to machlokas. And the Mishnah Berurah there says it applies to all minhagim, not just malacha. So too here, if you're going to be in a place where they're saying the Shamru and you're not going to say it and you're going to make it obvious, so then that's going to be problematic. So if you're Shaliach Tzibur, it's going to be obvious that you're not saying it if you don't say it. So then you should be sure to say it. If you're an individual, so then as long as it's not going to be obvious to everyone, so then it's going to be okay. So you don't have this so much by v'shamru, I don't think, that you're in a place where they say v'shamru and it's obviously you're not saying v'shamru. But Baruch Hashem, the Olam, it's very obvious. And I never understood it, but I never looked into it. But in many communities where you have certain shuls that say Baruch Hashem, the Olam in America, and then there are people on their own that don't say Baruch Hashem, the Olam, maybe that's their family minhag, or they dab in a shul that normally doesn't say it. So then when they get up to Baruch Hashem, the Olam, they pop up. They want to show that they don't say Baruch Shem Li'olam like everyone else does. So I don't really know why that's okay, unless you start going with Rav Moshe's thing by Lotus Go to do in general, that we're like a melting pot over here, so it doesn't really matter. And in America, that's what, you know, we say by Tfilon Achol HaMoed and Sfira and things like that. So I guess that's what you possibly could say, but I'm not sure. Why that's okay. But that's what people do. They pop up by Baruch Hashem Li'olam, but B'shamru for sure, as long as you're not making it obvious that you're not saying it in a place that says it, so then it's going to be okay. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
On the Ramadan Shita, the Gemara says that the Chazal add soaking beforehand,
right,
becomes part of the davening,
right,
and there's no shadow whatsoever.
Well, the Gemara only says it about Hashkiveinu. The Gemara says it about Ashkibenu. Right, correct. Hashem Sefatai Tiftach and Ashkibenu. And then there's a question, what about everything else? Baruch Hashem Li'olam, which was added. So that's a big machlokes.
In other words, the Vilna Gaon says...
Whatever the Gemara says...
It's up to the Gemara.
Yes, whatever the Gemara says, that's it. And for us to extend it is not okay.
Exactly. Whatever our rabbis...
Yes, exactly.
No power.
So that's why he would say...
Why should that be there?
What?
Why should it matter what year the rabbi lives? The Chachamim.
Right.
Why do you have to be,
I don't know, that,
you know, 2,000 years old as opposed to 800 years old?
Maybe he just doesn't think that they, whatever their logic is for the extension is as obvious. Meaning, Hashkiveinu, the Gemara says, why it's Gula Rechta? Because it mentions the Geula within there. So, Baruch Hashem Li'olam doesn't necessarily fill that. Maybe that's why he says it. I'm not sure. It doesn't explain it, at least in the Maaser Rav.
He might have been Cholik on Hashkiveinu also. He just...
Couldn't be, right, because once the Gemara says it, the Gemara says it, yeah. But interesting, you do have shuls where, you have shuls that will say the Shamru, but won't say Baruch Hashem Li'olam, so they must be relying on the Ramah, who says that there's no problem with Smichas Gula L'Tfila by Shabbos, even though there is by the week, because they clearly, that's why some shuls say that they're Minag Agra, except when they're not Minag Agra. So that's what this concept would be, that you're Minag Agra in terms of not saying Baruch Hashem Li'olam, but you're not Minag Agra because you say V'shamru, but it would probably be based off of this Ramah. Okay.
And why is it a problem?
The Ramah said that the whole source of Smichas Gula, the requirement of Smichas Gula Tefillah, is because you place two psukim next to each other. Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzara, and right next to that is Yula Ratzon Imer Fibigom B'yom Hashem Tzuri V'goali. So you place the Tzara next to the Geula. So that's only true when it's a Yom Tzara. But Shabbos, which is not a Yom Tzara, so then there'd be no requirement. So that would be a nafkamina between the reasons that the Ramah would only apply to Shabbos but not during the week, as opposed to the Lagan, who would say during the week also. But again, here, most people hold like the Minag Agra. Okay, so that's in terms of the Shamru. Next is Vayichulu. So when it comes to Vayichulu, so the Torah says that you should say Vayichulu after Shmona Esrei for two reasons. One is because of Yom Tov that falls out on Shabbos, because when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, so you're not going to say Vayichulu in Shmona Esrei. So, since when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, we need to say Vayichulu after Shmona Esrei, since we don't say it in Shmona Esrei. So therefore, it's a low plug, then by every Shabbos, we end up saying Vayichulu after Shmona Esrei as well. The other is to be motzi someone who's not a bucky, who's not able to do it on their own, so we do it for them. Those are the two reasons that the Torah gives. And then he adds that it's also Eidus, over the testimony that you're making for the creation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world at this time. The last reason that's given, many Sfarim bring al pisod, is something about the requirement to say Vayichulu three times. On Friday night, you say it in Shmona Esrei, then you say it afterwards, and then you say it again at Kiddush. So there's some concept behind saying it three times, but again, it's al pisod. And I can't really explain it to you, but that would be another reason to say the Vayichulu afterwards. We really have four reasons why we say Vayichulu afterwards, and there's nafkaminas between them. Should a yachid be saying it? If you're davening by yourself, do you have to say Vayechulu? If it was instituted to be motzi a non-baki, so then you wouldn't need to. But according to the first reason, that it falls out on Shabbos, that is because of a yontif that falls out on Shabbos, so then you would need to. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav and others say that the Iker is the first reason, so a Yachid really should say it. The Shulchan Aruch, when he brings this down, in Siman Reish Samech Ches Zayin, it could be number 5, if I'm counting correctly, I'm not sure. Chozrim lomar vayichulu mishum yomtav shechalios b'shabes she'eino omer mosul b'tzvila. V'gam lohotzi l'mi she'eino yodea v'omer mosul b'kol ram u'mu'umad. So the Shulchan Aruch brings the first two reasons of the tour, that it's a low plug because of yomtav that falls out on Shabbos, and in order to be motzi someone who doesn't know how to say it themselves, and then he adds it should be said out loud and standing up. Why should it be said out loud and standing up? Seems to be hinting at the other reason that this acts as some type of edus. Fine. So a couple of different issues that come up related to Vayichulu. One, yeah?
A low plug means that no one argues on
it? Low plug means that it's an all-encompassing rule, that even when the reason doesn't apply, because like on a regular Shabbos, you say Vayichulu and Shmona Esrei, so there'd be no reason to repeat it afterwards, if it's just because you don't say it in the Shmona Esrei davening on Yom Tif. So then, even though the reason doesn't apply, the rule still applies. And therefore we say, every Shabbos you would have to say Vayichulu afterwards.
So the expression is...
low plug means an all-encompassing, yeah, all-encompassing. No difference.
Don't differentiate.
Yeah. Okay. So the first issue would be, the Shulchan Aruch says in the next source, Ein ledaber b'shash omer Vayichulu, v'lo b'shash omer sheliach tzibur brecha me'ein sheva. So you're not supposed to talk during Vayichulu, and you're not supposed to talk during the Me'in Sheva Bracha, Magen Avos, etc. So you'll notice, as is pointed out by some of the poskim, he says you're not supposed to talk during Vayichulu or during Me'in Sheva. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that you're not supposed to speak between Shmona Esrei and Vayichulu. So he infers, many poskim infer from there, that it would be okay to talk between Shmona Esrei and Vayichulu. Even though there's no Kaddish being recited yet, you'd be able to talk during that time. The Tamayim and Hagim brings down that you shouldn't do it, ever. But it just points out that there's more room to be makel if needed. If you need to talk for some reason, so then that would be a good time to talk. As opposed to during Vayichulu, you might say, okay, I'm going to say Vayichulu quickly, and then I'll tell this guy the thing that I need to tell him. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down a horrible maisa that happened to someone, that he came to someone in a dream and said, the reason that I'm suffering in Shemaim is because I spoke during Vayichulu. And the post can point out, it doesn't mean that he spoke during Vayichulu. He said Vayichulu. But then he finished it up early, and then he spoke to the person next to him. So that's what they say causes problems. So again, if you need to talk for some reason after Shmona Esrei, it's better to do it immediately after Shmona Esrei before starting Vayichulu, instead of waiting until you say Vayichulu quickly and then speaking to the guy next to you. Just an interesting point that I noticed while I was reviewing this. The next issue is in terms of Elokai Netzor. Nothing on the sheet for that. Okay, so what happened? You want to say Vayichulu with the Tzibur. So what happens if you get up to Elokai Netzor and now they start saying Vayichulu? So you said Yulu Ratzon Imir Fingum Mecha Hashem Tzriva Goali, and now you're in the middle of Elokai Netzor and the Tzibur starts saying Vayichulu. So should you say Vayichulu along with the Tzibur or not? So the Mishnah Berurah elsewhere in the Halachas of Chazar Sashatz and the Halachas of Elokai Netzor regularly says that you'd be allowed to answer during Elokai Netzor, you'd be allowed to answer other amens only if it's something that you don't say often. But if, like everyone now, you say Elokai Netzor every time you daven, so then it becomes part of the tefillah, and the only things you'd be allowed to answer during Elokai Netzor would be Yehi Shmei Rabba, Kedusha, and the Baruch Hu, and the Amen of Akela Kadosh, and Shema Koleinu. That's the only thing you'd be able to answer. Not a Stam Bracha, not a Stam Amen. And we would assume it would be true of Vayichulu also. You wouldn't be able to say Vayichulu during Elokai Netzor, because Elokai Netzor becomes part of your Shmona Esrei. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees and says that you can answer any Amen also. But what does that extend to Vayichulu also? So the Mor HaShabbos and the Shulchan Shlomo both bring from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that he said you can. Why can you say it? Because he says that this is part of the tefillah of Shabbos also. Vayichulu is you said it in Shmona Esrei, and now you're saying it again. So it's like it's part of the tefillah of Shabbos. And therefore you'd be allowed to say it. Shmuel Kamenetsky also paskins this way, that if you're in the middle of a Elokai Netzor, you'd be able to say Vayichulu. If you are davening in a shul which davens super quickly, or you are a very slow davener, so then, you'd be able to say, if they get up to Vayichulu when you're up to Vayichulu and you're Shmona Esrei, so then you'd be able to say it along with them then as well. I don't think that comes up as often, but I think it does come up more often that it would be in the middle of a Kain Atzor, and so it would be, you'd be able to rely on Shlomo Zalman Orbach to say it then, again, because it is part of the Tefillah of Shabbos as well. So even though... Right, and then you wouldn't need to say it afterwards, meaning assume, which we'll get to now, but meaning assuming that it doesn't matter whether you're going like the Mishnah Berurah or the Aruch HaShulchan in terms of what you would normally be allowed to say during Elokai Netzor, Vayichulu would be an exception because it is part of the Tefillah of Shabbos, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So the next topic that is mostly talked about when it comes to Vayichulu is, do you have to repeat when you want to say Vayichulu afterwards, because we said you need to say Vayichulu three times. So if you were still davening Shmona Esrei when the Tzibur said Vayichulu, so when you say Vayichulu afterwards, do you have to say it with another person? Should you say it with nine other people? So that is a major discussion. So the Taz, the bottom of the sheet, says, L'pisha bazan u'me'edim la'me'edim la'kadosh baruch u'b'maisa bereshis. V'din ha'edim be'amida. V'sim ha'tur, v'omer moso v'yachad. You cannot, an individual should not say Vayichulu afterwards on his own, because this is testimony, and testimony cannot be said by an individual. The Eda Shlema Ba'inan, we require a complete Eda to testify to Hashem. This is a unique testimony to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which requires not just two, Hainu Asara, it requires 10 people. If you want to say it on your own, so you should just intend that you're just reading Tzukim from the Torah, but you're not actually testifying. So it says the Taz, which, again, I don't think most people realize, that the requirement to say Vayichulu does not require two people, it requires 10 people, because it's a unique testimony to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Magen Avraham rejects this. The Magen Avraham in the next source says, on the next page, it's Arachian. What do you mean? Every aid testifies on their own. We don't have the two people come and say testimony at the same time. One guy testifies, then the other guy testifies. The Sma says that even though we would have each witness testify on their own, they would then say it all together. We don't really hold that way. Okay, so either way, the Magen Avraham questions this Taz, because he says we don't require that everyone say testimony together. Even if you're saying it after the person, it's still okay. And finally, the Mishnah Berurah says, L'pisha b'zeh, he quotes the Taz, but then he adds, on the second line, B'tzibur, de'eda shlema ba'inan l'hai la'kadosh baruch hu, va'al kol panim yeh b'shnayim. So that's where this concept of saying it with someone else comes from, is from the Mishnah Berurah, who says, you should at least have two. He doesn't tell us why. He doesn't bring a source. We assume that it's because it's called edus, and edus in general requires two. But the source of the Mishnah Berurah is the Taz. That's where he gets this from. And the Taz says it needs at least 10. So just important to be aware of that, that it really should require 10. And then the Mishnah Berurah comes along and says, we require two. But how much of a requirement is it to have two that you should say Vayichulu afterwards with someone else? So the Chazon Ish famously disagrees with this. The Chazon Ish, you skip a source, the Chazon Ish says, Kevan te'ikar malas Vayichulu hu betfila she'omer yimat tzibur, since the main point of Vayichulu is to say it with the tzibur, and we say it in Shmona Esrei, u'ma she'omer moso achar tfila hu... Totally typed that wrong when I copied it. I don't even know what it's supposed to say. Any guesses?
Hither.
Yeah, hither ba'ama. Thank you. Who hither ba'ama? Below Hizkar b'Gemara, and it's not mentioned in the Gemara at all. Umala samar tfilaso, so that we'll get to momentarily. So says the Chazon Ish that this is just a hither ba'ama. So there's no reason to go after trying to find the second person. And he adds that it could be a problem to say it again afterwards with another person, because it looks like you're requiring edim on my sibaracious, and we don't require testimony on my sibaracious. If it just comes along that way because you're already saying Vayichulu as a tzibur, fine. But to say that, no, we still require more testimony about the my sibaracious as a Chazon Ish, we really shouldn't do that. And therefore the Chazon Ish said that there's no requirement, since it's just a hither, you do not need to go after to find another person to say Vayichulu with. In my sibaracious though, they say that Chazon Ish told Rav Chaim Kanievsky that he should say it with others. However, the Rebbe of Ephraim, Rav Chaim Greenblatt, says, no, the Chazon Ish wasn't really Chozer. He just told Rav Chaim to do that because, like, why not? but he didn't really think that there's a requirement to have two people. So again, why not? Okay, you know, you might as well, if it's easy to have another guy next to you, you might as well, to Rav Nemetzal says also, to be machmir based on the Mishnah Berurah, to try and say it with two. But if you can't say it with two, or you can't find another guy, or you don't want to be matriach to do it, so then you could definitely rely on this chazanish.
Two people and one say it after the other?
No, the Mishnah Berurah says just you could say it at the same time, meaning...
Because right, that was the whole issue of the...
The Magen Avraham, yes, on the Taz, right, yeah.
But the Magen Avraham doesn't come out.
Correct,
so like
correct, no. The poskim do discuss, Nemetzal and others, Shmuel Kamenetsky, they discuss, can you say it with your wife when you get home? Can that count as two? Can you say it with the child? Could that count as two? So, Rav Nevinsol said that you can say it with your wife. I don't remember if it explained why in the footnotes, but Shmuel Kamenetsky points out that if we really hold that you need Eidos, and then women and Katanim shouldn't work. They also, they bring from the Elia Rabba that he said you should be Maharher B'tshuva before you say this, because just like an aide before he testifies has to do tshuva beforehand to make sure he's a kosher aide, so too before your test, if you really hold it's Eidos, so then you should be Maharher B'tshuva beforehand to do tshuva before testifying about this. So it's all a question of how much are we saying it's real Eidos. It's like we discussed by Hataras Nadarim, right? Can the Beis Din have two relatives on the Beis Din or not? So how much are we really saying that's a Beis Din? So too here, how much are we really saying that this is real Eidos to require all the halachas? Well, then it shouldn't be able to be done at night, because you can't do Eidos at night. Like there'd be a variety of reasons. But again, obviously it would be better to do it with a man in order to be machmir for those people that say that it's real Eidos. But you could always rely on Rav Nevinsol to say it with your wife if you are stuck.
Does anyone discuss whether it's an issue to say that at the sitter?
Because you're saying it. I'm sure they do. I don't know. There's a concept that you can't testify based off of a written document. You can't read it has to be something that you're saying. Look, it depends how much you call it like Eidos, you know?
Does anyone say you shouldn't say it with like your brother or your father?
I didn't see, but I assume it would be the same thing. If you say women won't work and Tana won't work, so your brother shouldn't work either. But yeah, so again, how much is it really like Eidos? I don't know why, I always went with the Chazanish my whole life, but I'm not sure if there's a reason why. I probably just heard the Chazanish and I was like, good, I'm going to be different than everybody else. So the next issue that comes up related to this is the Ber Halacha. The source above it says, L'chatchila tov basar, mitam zeh, ha-mispal balachas yimaher l'sayim tfilaso, kdei sheyomar v'yichulu makal. You should speed up your Shmona Esrei so that you could say v'yichulu, because you're supposed to have 10. So you should speed up your Shmona Esrei in order to be able to say it with the tzibur. The Chazanish disagrees with this, and he explains this whole thing, again, based off his shita, that this is all just a hider. So it's all just a hither to say Vayichulu afterwards. And Amarach B'tfiloso, the Gemara says, that if you have a long davening, obviously it doesn't mean having a long davening just for the sake of having a long davening, but if you have a long davening in order to have Kavana, there's a tremendous mila to that. So how could you say that this hither, Vayichulu, is going to outweigh the mila of extending your tefillah? So therefore the Chazanish says, no way, we're not going to do that. And Shmuel Kamenetsky as well, bringing his name, that you should not rush your Shmona Esrei just in order to get up to it. But again, it is a Ber Halacha, quoting the Prima Gavin, that says you should rush your Shmona Esrei in order to get up to it. So, interesting to note. So that's our discussion of Vayichulu. Again, talking after Shmona Esrei, before Vayichulu, during Elokein Atzor, to say during Elokein Atzor, the requirement of two afterwards, and rushing your Shmona Esrei. Okay, next is the discussion of the bracha of Me'ein Sheva. So why do we have this concept of the bracha of Me'ein Sheva? And then Magei Nabos, that whole concept. So the Rambam says, not on the sheet anymore, so I can fit it onto two pages. The Rambam says, B'leile Shabbosos chozer shatz achar shemispala b'lachash ima tzibur mispala b'kol ram. Aval eino mispala sheva el bracha achas Me'ein Sheva. So he sounds like he's comparing it to a regular chazar sashatz. That Magen Avos is just in place of Chazar Sashatz. However, the Tur says that no, the establishment of Magen Avos, of Bracha Me'ein Sheva, was established because of the Sakanas HaMazikin, because their shuls used to be out in the fields, and people would get to shul late, and they would still be davening when everyone else left. It would be dangerous for them to walk on their own. So we try and add on more stuff to the tefillah, so we add on Mangin Avos, in order to extend the tefillah more, so that the people will be able to finish, who come late, will be able to finish up their davening, and then be able to go home safely with everyone else. It's the same thing that, the same reason the Gemara gives for Baruch Hashem Li'olam, is just to extend the davening. So these two possible reasons. So what's the Nafka Mina? How much, there's a couple Nafka Minas, how much do we really consider this like Chazar Sashatz? First of all, should the Shaliach Tzibur bow when he starts? He says, Baruch Atah Hashem. So should he bow at that time? So the Chavos Yair says that he should bow for Mein Sheva. Others say that it's not really required, and it's probably based on these two reasons. If you hold that it's a real Chazar Sashat, so then you'd have to bow. If you hold that it was really instituted for to extend the davening, so then it wouldn't be required. Standing for Magen Avos also, do you have to stand? Can you be Yotzei? If you made a mistake in your Shmona Esrei, would you be able to be Yotzei with Shaliach Tzibur's Mein Sheva? Instead, it's all discussion. Can you use Mein Sheva as a tashlumin, as a makeup tefillah for Mincha? If you forget Yal V'Yavo, would you be able to, on Friday or something like that, if you forget Yal V'Yavo or something else, would you be able to do it? So we generally say no, you shouldn't rely on it, just because there's other opinions. But again, it would all be based on this discussion. Is it a real Chazar Sashatz in place of a Chazar Sashatz? Or, no, it's not really, it's just in order to extend the davening. So those are the reasons for Mein Sheva and possible Nafka Minas.
It's called
Me'ein Sheva,
plus
of the seven. Because the seven brachos of Shmona Esrei on Shabbos, so this is Me'ein that, because it's not, you don't say all seven. It's one bracha.
I see. It's davening in place of the seven.
Yeah, it's like the Halamichia is called the bracha Me'ein Shalosh, because it's like benching, which is three brachos Nido Raisa, and then the fourth one was added later. So where is Me'ein Sheva, this bracha Me'ein Sheva recited? So the Shulchan Aruch on the middle of the page says, Ein Omer bracha Me'ein Sheva bebeis chasanim ba'aveilim, deleika tamed ma'achren lavo shiyu nizokin. You do not say the bracha Me'ein Sheva in a house of the someone who got married, or in the house of an avel, because the reason doesn't apply, of that we're afraid that people won't be able to get home. So we don't say it in these types of places. In Mishnah Berurah, explains in the next source, but Malcolm Shinogin La Amra in Limchos Biyadam, King Kasav Amagin Avram B'Shemar Arbaz Avo Primagadim Afaktik Bazed Davi Suffik Brachel of Atala. So, what happens if you're in a place where you're not supposed to say it, and someone's saying it? Do you have to stop him or not? So Primagadim would say, yes, you do have to stop him, because there's a potential Brachel of Atala going on here, since you're not supposed to say it. So, what? I'm not sure why.
Dangerous?
Back then, it was a danger issue, so I'm not sure what, I guess these places were in town, so therefore the whole reason for saying the bracha achas Me'ein Sheva is in order to extend davening so the people who are davening in the fields are able to get home, so if you were davening in town because you're davening in someone's house, so it was never instituted in such a situation is the point. What?
We're talking about a minute.
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah.
Well,
Baruch Hashem Li'olam was established for the same reason before Shmona Esrei. It was potentially established for the same reason. It's trying to extend people come a couple minutes late.
You know, understandably, yeah. For extra
10 minutes. That's, you're trying to extend the davening because people come a couple minutes late, and then they're going to be stuck coming back on their own. I guess. Well, I guess I assume when they established it, since they knew the reason it was established, they said they took a little bit longer for it. It's just, only in our times where that reason doesn't really apply anyway, so, I assume that's what it is. So...
When you say people wouldn't be able to get home, you'll extend the davening,
So that these people will be able to. The real halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that if there's one person who's davening in the shul by himself, you're supposed to wait for him. You're not supposed to leave him there because of that reason, because it's dangerous for him to go home by himself. If you're like the last person
won't
there,
go home because they'll be waiting for
those other people who got there late. So this way, everyone gets there. They all go home at the same time, basically. So many poskim say that if the person starts saying this bracha when he's not supposed to, we stop him and tell him to say Baruch Shem Kvod Machasoli Lamed. So when does this come up? What is considered a minyan kavua? What is considered not a minyan kavua? So the Mishnah Berurah in the second class source says Perish Kishem Ispalin Bebeisam Beminyan VeKol Shekein Osan Shem Ispalin Prakim Beminyan Bebayis Avok Sheish Kviyas Aleza Yamim VeYesh Sefer Torah Etzlam UKmo Biridim So if you have a minyan that just happens every so often, they're davening together, that's where you wouldn't say it. But if it's a minyan that's set over a period of days, and there's a Sefer Torah, says the Mishnah Berurah, such as there's a fair, and everyone comes to this town for a fair for a week or two, so then you would say Me'ein Sheva in such a situation. So the Mishnah Berurah says that there's a requirement that it be a set minyan, and that there be a Sefer Torah. The Aruch HaShulchan says this as well. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch say you don't really need a Sefer Torah there. But this would affect the Friday night has minyanim, which I don't think are so common in Eretz Yisrael, especially because there's like a minyan every block in a shul, when you make into a shul. So it's not really common to have a minyan in someone's house on a Friday night, at least. Maybe Motzei Shabbos, not so much on a Friday night, but in America, for sure, there are has minyanim. So would they say this bracha achas me'ein sheva or not? So if you have this requirement in the Mishnah Berurah, I think many of those has minyanim do not have a Sefer Torah, and then they would not be able to say it. But Rav Moshe, in the last source, which we won't read, it's too long, says that you don't need a Sefer Torah. And Rav Moshe says, a Friday night minyan in a house would say it. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky thought, no, if you just have a just Friday night, that's the only davening, so that's not called kavua enough. Just like the Mishnah Berurah said, it has to be for kama yamim. He said, a minyan that's kishyesh kviyas al eze yamim. So he said, say just Friday night. He didn't think that that would be enough, but I assume that most house minyanim in America go like with Moshe Feinstein, who says that as long as it's kavua in the same house every Friday night, even if there's no Sefer Torah, you'd be allowed to say this bracha me'ein sheva. If you go to a hotel for a Shabbaton and you're davening in a room, so if you're there for a couple days, it could be like the Arid, that you made it, like the fair, you made it into a shul for these couple days. But if you're just there for Shabbos, then probably not. If it's in a hotel that has a shul, it's actually a shul, and they have a minyan every week, it's just a question of who's there, so then that's called a kavua minyan. But if you come to some hotel in America just for a convention, and you're calling this room the shul for the weekend, so then you would not say magen avos in such a situation. If you go up to a camp during the winter for a Shabbos, so Shmuel Kamenetsky said then you would not say it, because it's only called a shul in the summer, even if it's a shul. Some of these, Dora Golding, their shul is beautiful. It's clearly a shul, but says Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, no, it's only called a shul in the summer. It's not called a shul in the winter. But I asked Rav Miller before I saw from Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, I asked Rav Miller this question yesterday, and he told me that he thought that it's called a kavua shul, and therefore, even if you go up during the winter, you would say it. Interestingly enough, the Dirshu brings from Rav Tukachinsky in the Luach, Eretz Yisrael, that the Minhag Yerushalayim is to say, even if it's not min kavua, and even if there's no Sefer Torah, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says it's only in the Old City because of the Kedusha. Rav Yashuv says all of Yerushalayim. And again, the Ben Ish Chai says it's all Pisod. So I can't really explain to you why. Yeah, all of Yerushalayim. I don't think we extend it to Beit Shemesh, but yet. But in Yerushalayim, that's what they would do. They would say in any situation. So again, in terms of
the connection between that particular
because again, the whole institution.
It's
because the whole institution of saying this bracha was so that people would be able to get home from shul if they were out in the fields. So the point is that this whole institution was never made in non-set shuls. When the Rabbanan established the requirement of this bracha, it was only made in kavua shuls, which were in the fields. So we extended to all kavua minyanim. That's what we'll assume Chazal extended it to all kavua minyanim. But a non-kavua minyan, this establishment was never made in such a situation. That's what we would say.
Casualness about davening in the field. That was
right.
That was
the way they used to daven. So again, in terms of this main shalosh, main sheva, we had a couple different reasons for it, and where it applies, and what's considered being kavua, etc. In the last couple minutes, just to make just so we understand, one interesting point I saw from Rav Neventhal about Bama Madlikin. So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Ayin says that we say Bama Madlikin Friday night. There's discussion why and when to say it. So different reasons are given. Some is because it has the different halachas of Hadlakas Neiros. But that would mean that it should be done before Hadlakas Neiros, because how's that going to help that you're learning the rules? Others say that the reason is just because we want to mention the reminders of Esartem, Eravtem, and Adliku Asaner. But again, that should also be done before. It appears the Aruch HaShulchan points out that all the reasons for Rabbah Madlikin really would apply when they used to daven Kabbalah Shabbos actually before Shkia. That's when they used to daven Kabbalah Shabbos before Shkia. So we don't do that. So it would appear that we really shouldn't be saying Rabbah Madlikin when we do, but the Aruch HaShulchan says that that's a minog, and so therefore we continue to do it. But one interesting point that Reb Nemetzal makes is that it's better to say it with kavana than to say the whole parak without understanding it, because it's not a tefillah. So he says, just like Ba'ezehu Makoman, if you're just reading the words of Ezehu Makoman and you're not actually understanding anything, so you're not really Makayim anything, because the point is for Talmud Torah purposes, so only by tefillah can you be Yotze if you don't understand the psukim that you're saying. So Mishnah Berurah brings that down. But by Talmud Torah, you wouldn't be able to. So he thinks that this recitation of Rabbah Madlikin is a keem of Talmud Torah, not a keem of tefillah. And therefore, if you're faced with saying one Mishnah and actually understanding it, versus rushing through the whole thing and not actually understanding anything you're saying, so Rav Nevinsel says it's much better to say that one Mishnah that you will now understand, reading it in the English or whatever it may be, as opposed to rushing through it and not actually understanding anything you said. So that's an interesting point that Rav Nevinsel makes about Rabbah Madlikin. So just to summarize very quickly, we discussed the Shamru, and the reasons for saying the Shamru or the reasons for not saying the Shamru, and what one should do if they are in a place where they say the Shamru, even though those people normally don't say the Shamru. Depends whether you're Shalich Tzibur or you're a Yachid. Discussion of Vayichulu, talking, of a kind of Tzor, requiring two for Vayichulu, and rushing your Shmona Esrei. The Bracha Achas Mevmein Sheva, why, and Nafkamina is between them, and which Minyanim you would say the Bracha Achas Mevmein Sheva. And finally, an interesting Ha'ara about Bama Madlikin. Shkayach.